And so this morning we're going to be in the book of James. If you have your Bible, if you want to turn with me to James chapter 1. And we're going to be in verses 2 to 4 this morning. And I think that's actually appropriate what Wes just said. We don't like change. We don't like change. We don't like change in ministry. We don't like change in our lives. We are people who do not like change. And I think in part, the reason I don't like change is because when I experience change in my life, I lose control. Right? When I experience change that is not from me, there's a sense of vulnerability. There's a sense in which I have to lay down my rights. And I have to say, no, I am not God. I am not God. And yet this morning we're going to be in James. We're going to be talking about joy this morning. And I want to ask you, when you lose control, when you do not have control in your life, when things aren't going your way, what emotions do you experience? What are the emotions that you experience when you don't have control of your life?
Anxiety.
Anxiety for sure. Confusion. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I often experience frustration. It's like my go-to emotion. Wes and I were talking about this recently, how this is so stereotypical, I apologize. You may not experience this, man, but as a man, I find that I have only a few emotions that I go to. And my main emotion that I go to when I don't have control is frustration. I mean, I can be happy, I can be joyful in a moment, and all of a sudden, somebody cuts me off when I'm driving down the road, and immediately, I mean, I go from singing Mighty to Save, thinking about the gospel, somebody cuts me off, and I'm frustrated. Where is that emotion? Where does that come from? The fact that I can so quickly be set off, I can be so quickly upset and frustrated. And so this morning we're going to be in James, we're going to be reading this passage, and James gives us an option. He gives us a point of consideration this morning that we can consider even the small things, even the small trials in our lives. We can consider those moments for pure joy. So before we get started, before we read this text, would you take some time and let's pray. Let's ask God to open our eyes that we may see the opportunities that we have to bring joy, to be joyful people. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you this morning. I thank you for the invitation that you give us. An invitation, even in our broken world, to be people of joy. Father, through your gospel, I pray that we would understand more this morning. We would be encouraged more this morning to see ourselves as people who are freed from our circumstance. People who are freed from experiencing pure frustration. That we can be people who are marked by the joy of Jesus Christ. So, Father, would you speak through me this morning, and would we be encouraged to be people of joy? In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So I just want to go. I'm going to read this text. I used to be so fearful of the book of James. I don't know about you. I used to, when I was especially in Bible college, I did not like the book of James. To me, James was so harsh. It wasn't until I began to really understand and grasp the gospel's work in my life that I could come back to James and say, no, this isn't just a checklist mentality. When I read these verses, this is with the understanding that it is the work of Jesus Christ who is producing something in my life. Therefore, I can consider joy and trials. So let's read this text together. It says in verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So again, verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. When I read that verse, it actually implies something. It implies that I'm going to go through trials. A couple months ago, we talked about the waves of life that we face. We face moments of trial, of testing. But we shouldn't be surprised in those moments. We shouldn't wonder, woe is me, why am I experiencing this trial? No, trials are part of life. Trials are a part of the broken world we live in. And yet we have a sovereign God who can take this broken world, he can take our own brokenness, and he can use it for his honor and glory. Only our sovereign God could do that. So James starts off, he points out a consideration. That means we have a choice. Often in those moments of trial, I know my go-to emotion, like I've said. Even yesterday, I was processing, here I am, I'm going to be in James 2, I'm going to be talking about trials of many kinds. And I was priming walls in my house. And if you know anything about me from what I've talked about, I'm not a handyman by nature. And I'm also a perfectionist, so even priming is a source of anxiety for me. Literally, my wife was with me, and she had to keep reminding me, Kent, you're just priming the walls. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. This little trial in my life, I found myself yesterday actually going back to James and thinking, here it is, this same emotion, this frustration's coming at me, and I have to make a choice right now. I can either choose to dwell in that anxiety and in that fear, that frustration that so naturally wells up within me, and for some reason feels really good in that moment. Or I can step out of that. I can step out of that frustration that only lasts for a second, only gives joy for a second, gives peace for a second, so fleeting. And I can choose an eternal joy. I can step out of that frustration. I can choose to put my eyes on Jesus Christ. And even while I'm priming walls, I can still find joy. So where are you at in life? Maybe you're in a peak right now. Maybe you're in a place right now where life is going your way. Praise God. Because I know when life is going my way, it's easy for me to control my emotions. It's easy for me as Kent to look the part of what you would expect me to look like. Man, when I'm in a crowd of people that are loving life, enjoying life, I love to laugh. I love to be excited. It's easy for me to do those things. It's easy for me to get excited with people who are excited. But man, the minute you look at me and say something negative to me, I get set off. When I lose control of excitement, when I lose control of the circle around me, I so easily get frustrated. Often, to be honest with you, often it's not until after the trial has occurred that I realize that I can consider joy. It's often after the trial happens that I can look back and say, no, I have to let that go. I have to let that frustration go. And I have to now dwell on truth that Christ is my identity. I don't have to be afraid of what I perceive people think of me, how shallow I am. I can, in that moment, make a decision. I can consider joy in the trial. The ESV actually says, count it all joy. That is to say, you can count even the beginning parts of your trial. Even the beginning parts and the parts that are still to come. You can even count those parts as opportunities for joy. Not because, and hear this truth. Not because we rejoice in the death that we see or the cancer that we experience. No, that's brokenness. We don't rejoice in the sin, but we rejoice in the Savior who can overcome our sin. even to the point of overcoming our own death, that if we put our trust in Him, one day we will be with Him forever. Galatians 5, chapter 1, is a great place for me to go. It's a great place for me to go. And I apologize, I don't have these words on the screen, but if you have your Bible, really quick, if you want to turn there, maybe want to underline this in your Bible. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." That is to say, and Paul's looking at these people and he's saying, I know your inclination. Your inclination is to go back to what you know, that is slavery. Your inclination is to go back to those emotions of fear, of anxiety. Quite frankly, your emotion is to go back to your pride. But don't do that. Don't go back. Don't go back to your old self, because you're free. To me, I often picture myself in a jail cell. I see the bars around me. I'm fixated on the fact that I feel like I'm in a prison. But I don't realize that the gates of the prison are wide open. In fact, I'm not even standing in the prison anymore. I've been set free. I don't have to go back to those emotions of frustration. I can consider even the moments of brokenness to be opportunities for joy. Verse 3 in James, it starts out, "Because you know that the testings of your faith produce perseverance." Honestly, when I'm in those moments of frustrations, I do not know that to be true. In those moments when I'm anxious, when I'm worried, when I'm fearful, I do not remember that truth. I do not remember that this is producing something in my life far greater than my circumstance. No. What I'm experiencing is the transformational work of Jesus Christ in my life. Because I'm learning more and more, and I'm growing more and more in my understanding that I am not enough. I am not God. So I'm learning, I'm growing in my understanding that I'm a human. That I'm created. I'm not the creator. Along with that, it points out the fact that I'm not the source of joy. I'm not the source of life. So I'm growing, even in those moments of hardship, I'm growing in my understanding of who I am. That's one part. I'm also growing in my understanding of who God is. That He is the Creator. I'm the created. He is the Creator. And He is the source of life. So in those moments of frustration, I can go back and say, well, the reason I'm frustrated is because I'm not whole. I am broken. I need to go to the one who is whole, the one who makes me whole, and that is God. So I can understand more and more my dependency on Christ. When I was in my early 20s, I went off to do some missions work, and it was an exciting time in my life. But it was also a time in my life when I learned an awful lot about myself. Because going on the mission field, leaving my home, I suddenly found myself in an extreme place of vulnerability. I really didn't control anything. I didn't understand how people talked. To be honest with you, I was in the United States, but when you're down south, I was in New Orleans working with an organization with Katrina Relief, and those people talk funny. They talk funny. They don't talk like me. They enjoy things that I don't necessarily enjoy. And honestly, they don't know me like people back home knew me. I didn't have a level of trust with those people. I didn't have a friendship with some of these people like I had back home. And so when things weren't going my way, which happened honestly a lot, when things weren't going my way, I found myself getting frustrated. Over and over and over again, I would get frustrated and I would go back and think, Kent, you are so broken. You are so sinful. And I did not like that season of my life. Be honest, I look back on that season, I did not like that. Man, it was a source of growth for me. I learned a ton. But it wasn't until I got home that I could look back on that experience and be thankful. Because if I hadn't gone through that season, I would not have understood the level of pride that is in my heart. That isn't that I am now fixed, it isn't that I am now complete. But I had to go through that season to understand more and more that I am not God. As silly as that sounds, I am not God. So I can look back and be thankful. And I want to leave that as one source of application for you. If you're in the hardships right now, have you considered the joy you can experience in Christ? Whether it be something as simple as just not having control of your surroundings, or maybe it's more significant than that. The broken world we live in is not just limited to our circumstances of not having control. It can be expanded upon our children. It can be expanded upon our own cancer. It can be expanded upon all areas of brokenness. But as Galatians 5 says, Christ has set us free. Truly, He has set us free from our circumstances. The world who does not know Christ is not freed from circumstance. We should not be surprised when we see the brokenness around us and we see people who respond in brokenness. Should not surprise us. But we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we as people who have relationship with Jesus, we've been freed. And that freedom is not just meant for us to absorb our comforts. The freedom that we've been given is a freedom. It's a freedom to be joyful in any and every situation. Because when I find joy, when I find joy in moments when I don't have control, I can look to God. Even yesterday, I was as I've said, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but as I was painting and getting frustrated, I found myself in joy. Weird as it was, I was painting and I found myself going, yes, Lord, I can be joyful right now. This is not my natural inclination, but I know this is from you. And I began processing the gospel. As I'm painting, I'm processing the fact that I don't have to be consumed by the frustrations that I'm not a good painter, that I don't have control of the ability to make a wall look as good as some people can look, make it look. But I can still be freed from frustration. And understand this reality. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Recognize this. Recognize this reality. That when you are experiencing the testing of your faith is not in yourself. I hear people talk, again, don't want to generalize this, but I've heard people talk about how, what must I do to experience eternal life or receive eternal life? And often people want to go back to their works. They want to talk about, you know, do I have to tell people more about Jesus? Do I have to stop sinning to experience salvation? I want to say, well, we're all called to repentance, yes. But the one who began the good work in us is the one who's going to complete the work in our lives. So when we are experiencing this exact reality, when we are experiencing the testing of our faith, the faith is in our trusting in Jesus Christ. The faith is not in trusting in ourselves. Because when I trust in myself, I fall short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We cannot manufacture our own faith. When you do that, honestly, that is an opportunity for growth because you can recognize and understand, I am falling short, I must turn to Jesus. So we are not manufacturing our own faith. We are allowing the work that Christ has already begun, as Philippians 1:6 says. We are allowing that work to take root in our lives and to begin to produce joy. And I love the words pure joy, because the essence of pure joy is joy. It's without a hint of frustration. It's without a hint of anxiety. It is pure joy. We as followers of Jesus Christ can consider even the moments of frustration to be moments of joy. And I hope, my hope for you this morning is that even as you look to your situation, even as you look to your surroundings and you think, how can God redeem this moment? We believe in a sovereign God. These are not the truths of Ken Hosmith. These are the truths of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that He is the one who redeems broken people. He is the one who saves. I had a Jehovah's Witness stop by my house a couple weeks ago. I was at home on study leave, and so I'm studying, doing what I was supposed to do. And there's a knock on the door, and I look outside, and I see this person, and I knew right away. I thought, okay, Lord, here this person is. I think I had half of my cup of coffee at that point. And I had a choice to make. I could either walk into that moment and have that conversation with that person, or I could very, very easily just not answer the door. So I went ahead. We had a conversation with that person. And I got to be honest with you, I was so glad that I had that conversation, because it allowed me to look at my life and say, no, I really believe that I am not saved by my works. The Jehovah's Witness wanted to continually go back to how it's our works that save us. They even went to the book of James, to be honest with you, and tried to say, how do you reconcile this? And I could actually take them, I took them to Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And I told them, this is what Scripture says, that my faith, it's not of works, so that I can't boast about it. I could go on to Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship. We are God's masterpieces. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We had this conversation for, I don't know how long it went. It went for about 45 minutes. In fact, I was told yesterday, I feel bad about this. They showed up at my parents' door again yesterday and talked to my mom, and my dad said, well, hey, thanks. You had a good conversation, apparently. But the reality is, we as followers of Jesus Christ have been set free, even from our ability to earn our salvation. We don't have to go back to the old slave self. We've been redeemed. We've been free. And we're going to now turn our attention to communion. And as we take the bread and we take the cup this morning, I want you to reflect in your own heart, in your own life, this reality. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Maybe you this morning are sitting here saying, you know, I've never really processed the fact that Christ could be enough for me. Today could be the day of salvation for you. And so as you reflect on the bread and as you reflect on the cup, as we talk about this morning, today could be the day you put your trust in Jesus Christ and say, you know, I am a sinner, Lord. I live in a broken world. I see my brokenness. I'm turning away from my sin. And today, I'm turning to Jesus Christ, knowing that 2,000 years ago, Christ paid for my sin in full on the cross. And I am fixing my eyes now on Jesus, admitting I'm a sinner. I am putting my trust in Him alone to be my Savior. If you do that, it means you have become a follower of Jesus Christ. You now have a relationship with God. You have gone from death to life. But now I know there are also people in this room that have taken that step, but the old person, they're coming back quite often right now. It happens to me. And so as you see the bread and the cup, and as you take the bread and the cup, would you make this a moment where you can say, you know, I haven't been considering pure joy in my life. I'm going to receive that invitation this morning, that it's not of works that I can experience salvation. Not even in my own life, not even in the day-to-day. And for those of you that are on the mountaintop right now, my encouragement to you, and this I think is very important, is that you don't get too comfortable where you are. Because just as quickly as you get on the mountaintop, I find in my own life, I end up in the valley. And so quickly, I can turn from faking my joy to upset, anxious, worried. So I would invite even you, if you were on the mountaintop this morning, to look to your heart and to say, Lord, am I finding joy in myself, or am I finding joy in you? And would you receive that invitation as well for consideration to seek joy in any and every circumstance? Because, verse 4, because He makes us mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow. He makes us mature and complete. I can't make myself complete. We've already talked about this. I cannot make myself complete, but Christ can. And one day, He's going to finish this work. I cannot wait for the day that I am in the presence of my Savior and I am whole. And that wholeness will be in Christ. But even today, even in this moment, can be moments for maturity. Because there are moments when we are freed from our circumstances and we are complete and we are whole in Christ. Would you receive that invitation this morning to find wholeness not in yourself, but to find wholeness in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for your gospel. I am so overcome with your gospel. Because without you, Jesus, I am nothing. I am thankful that you reveal this to me more and more each day. Not because I like to dwell in my brokenness, Lord, but because I love to dwell in you, Jesus. Father, I pray that we would be a people who are more and more in love with you, because we know it is you who makes us whole. And even when we are uncomfortable, we can fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the work you've done on the cross, Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.